यमुना तीर वन चारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्लोक प्रभुपाद की, इस्कान बाबा फाउंडर आचार्य श्लोक प्रभुपाद की, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी श्लोक प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, नामाचार्य श्लोक हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की, वृंदावन धाम की, नवदीप धाम की, जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, गंगा मैया की, यमुना मैया की, भक्ति देवी की, श्रीमती तुलसी महारानी की, कलियुग पावन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की, दाई गौर प्रेमानंद समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय, समवेत भक्त वृंद श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये, नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 6 थर्ड टेक्स्ट नंबर 36। यत्र स्नात्वा दक्षशापात् गृहीता यक्ष्मणा उडुराट् विमुक्तः किल्बिषात् सद्या भेजे भूया कला उदयम् यत्र स्नात्वा दक्षशापाद् गृहीतो यक्ष्मणाडुरोट् विमुक्त किल्बिष सद्यो बेझे भूयालुकलोदयम् यत्र स्नात्वा दक्षशापाद् गृहीतो यक्ष्मणोडुराण् विमुक्त किल्बिषात् सद्यो भेजे भूयाकलोदय यत्र स्नात्वा दक्षशापा गृहीतो यक्ष्मणोडुराण् विमुक्त किल्बिषात् सद्यो भेजे भूया कलोदय यत्र वेर स्नात्वा टेकिंग बाथ दक्षशापाद बिकॉज ऑफ द कर्स ऑफ प्रजापति दक्ष गृहीत सीज्ड यक्ष्मणा बाय कंजम्प्टिव लंग डिसीज उडुराट द किंग ऑफ स्टार्स द मून विमुक्तः फ्रीड किल्बिषात् फ्रॉम ए सिंफुल रिएक्शन सद्य इमीजिएटली भेजे ही अज्यूम भूया वंस अगेन कला ऑफ हिज फेसेस उदयम द इंक्रीजिंग ट्रांसलेशन वंस द मून वॉज अफ्लिक्टेड विद कंजम्पशन बिकॉज ऑफ हिज कर्स ऑफ दक्ष But just by taking bath at Prabhasa Kshetra, the moon was immediately freed from his sinful reaction and again resumed the waxing of his phases. Text 37 and 38 translation. By bathing at Prabhasa Kshetra, by offering sacrifice there to placate the forefathers and demigods, by feeding the worshipable brahmanas with various delicious foodstuffs and by bestowing opulent gifts upon them as the most suitable candidate for charity, we will certainly cross over these terrible dangers through such acts of charity, just as one can cross over a great ocean in a suitable boat. Text 39 Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, O favorite son of Kurus, thus advised by the personality of Godhead, the Yadavas made up their minds to go to that holy place, Prabhasa Kshetra, and thus yoked their horses to their chariots. text 40 and 41. Translation. My dear King, Uddhava was constantly faithful follower of Lord Krishna. Upon seeing the imminent departure of the Yadavas, hearing from them of the Lord's instructions and taking note of the fearful omens, he approached the personality of Godhead in a private place. He bowed down with his head at the lotus feet of the supreme controller of the universe and with folded hands addressed him as follows. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, there cannot be any actual disturbance in the Lord's own abode. The great disaster apparently recurring in Dwaraka, where an external show created by the Lord to facilitate his pastimes. We can understand the pastimes of Krishna only by hearing from the recognized acharyas. Lord Krishna is not a mundane historical figure, and his activities cannot be confined within the tiny limits of material logic. Lord Krishna's pastimes are an exhibition of his achinta shakti or inconceivable potency, which functions according to higher spiritual laws, unknown to the mind, unknown to the blind conditioned souls and their petty material logic. Hare Krishna. So in this chapter we have seen so far how the demigods headed by Lord Brahma approached Lord Krishna and requested him to return back to his kingdom of God. And at present, we see how Krishna is anticipating the separation from Lord Krishna, and he is very much disturbed and is approaching the Supreme Lord and is requesting him to take him also along with him back to Godhead. And in the couple of classes, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj has elaborated on this topic very wonderfully, and we'll try to see what we can discuss. In Subhashita, it is said that Ati Parichaya Avagyat Satata Gamana Anadaro Bhavati Malaye Bhilla Purandari Chandanam Kurukashta Indanam Kurute. It is said that familiarity breeds contempt. An example is given. A forest dweller in the region of Malaya Hills, she used to go for fetching her firewood. And because she was searching for firewood in the sandalwood trees where they were available, and what she found was only sandalwood trees, isn't it? And she brought all those sandalwood trees and she burned to ashes just to cook her meal. And this is what happens generally. That when Chandan becomes Indhan, Chandan is not meant for Indhan. Similarly, the firewood cannot, sandalwood cannot be a firewood. And we cannot use diamond as a paperweight. But whenever it happens, it's very alarming. And we see such one instance is happening here in Srimad Bhagavatam. That the sons of Lord Krishna, descendants of Lord Krishna, Yadavas, they have offended the sages headed by Narad Muni and others. And it happens so that once Narada, although Narada was accursed by Daksha Prajapati not to stay in any place constantly, so still he comes to Dwaraka and he stayed for some time, because Dwaraka is not a material world. It is spiritual world, and in Dwaraka the curse of Daksha cannot exist. So therefore Narada was staying in Dwaraka for some time with other sages. And at that time we heard that how the sons of Krishna, they took them for granted, although they were like sandalwood and they were taken as, you know, firewoods, and they offended them in a joking way. And we see the, you know, result of that they are cursed. Not only them, the entire Yadu dynasty will be wiped out. So therefore, it is cautioned at time and again that we should be very careful when we are in front of three things. One is fire, and there when the Lord himself, and the third one is exalted devotees of the Lord. So whenever we are amongst these three things, these three people, we cannot take them for granted, and which has happened in the case of Yadavas. So therefore, Rahugana's episode in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, he says that, I am not afraid of Indra's thunderbolt, nor am I afraid of Lord Shiva's trident, neither am I afraid of Yamaraja, you know, that Yamadanda, nor am I afraid of Surya, Chandra, and Varuna, and Agni, and Vayu, and whatever weapons they have. I am not at all afraid of any of these demigods and their powers, but I am very much afraid of the curses of Brahmanas. Because he learned his lessons after offending Jadaprata. We know that story how Rahugana offended, chastised the great devotee Jadaprata because he was visibly not a devotee. He looked like an ordinary wayward person. So therefore he took him for granted and he chastised him. And immediately he came to his senses and he begged forgiveness. And he goes on to say that my dear Lord is addressing Jadabharata, that you are the friend of Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are beyond the bodily concept of life. And I have committed a great offense at your lotus feet. So please forgive me. And he says that Nang Kshati Adurat Api Shulapani. Shulapani is Lord Shiva. Even Shulapani cannot be spared if he offends devotees of the Lord. Rahugana is giving the example of Lord Shiva. Who is Lord Shiva? His direct expansion of the Supreme Lord Krishna is Gunavatar. He is the greatest of all the demigods. We call him as Vaishnavana Yathashambhu. And even such a great demigod and great Vaishnava, if he offends the devotees of the Lord, Nang Kshati Adurat Api Shulapani, even if he is Lord Shiva, he will be very soon meet his destruction. So that is the consequence of offending devotees like Narada Muni and other sages. So not only that, these sons of Krishna offended them, but if they only had this understanding of, just like we see this, how Rahugana, he offended Jadabharata, and then immediately he went on asking for forgiveness. But here we see that sons of Krishna, if they had this understanding, what even Rahugana has, that they wouldn't have done this kind of a mistake or offense, and in return they wouldn't have suffered this terrible disaster which is about to happen. So therefore it is said, fool rush in where the angels dare to. So therefore we always have to be guided by the scriptures and the acharyas to understand the path of devotional service. Therefore it is said that kshurasya dhara. So to traverse on the path of devotional service is easy, at the same time it is very very essential to know the pitfalls, the difficulties that one may take the devotees for granted and he may offend them. Therefore, time and again, Govind Prabhu says that when we are with the devotees, we quarrel. And when we are alone, then there is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy and quarrel are the two prominent features of Kali Yuga. So we cannot perform devotional service single-handedly, living in a secluded place. And see the example of Bharat Maharaj, what happened to him. We cannot do that. Nobody can do that. That means we have to live in the company of devotees and perform devotional service. That means what? That's the greatest of all the challenges, that how to cooperate with devotees and smoothly perform our devotional service. So therefore, once Srila Prabhupada was visiting a temple, he went down to see the devotees' quarters where devotees were living. Along with some of his disciples, he was just taking a stroll. And at that time he saw in one room there is a bottle of medicine and it was open, kept open. And Prabhupada observed it and immediately commented on it. Just see this. Here I see the bottle of medicine is kept open. That means somebody, some devotee has come here and he has taken that medicine. He has managed to open the bottle and he has taken that medicine, but he did not close it. What a fool is he? Prabhupada chastised him. That means we can start an activity. It is easy to start an activity, but it is at the same time very important to close the activity, complete the activity. So we see here how Krishna is an expert. And he comes to this material world, art of coming. Who can beat Krishna when he comes to this material world? In the most spectacular way he comes to this material world. He takes birth in jail house of King Kamsa. And from there he comes to Mathura and Vrindavan. Thus he starts his life very beautifully. And then art of living in this world. And Krishna lives in a most magnanimous way, most spectacular way, displaying his all six opulences in full. And amongst all the six opulences, the most important one is Vairagya, or renunciation. Although Krishna is performing these wonderful pastimes, he is not at all attached to anything of this material world. He is totally detached. So here he sees how to live in this material world, art of living. And not only that art of leaving this material world, that also Krishna has performed, exhibited wonderfully in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. He is teaching us how to leave this material world. That means he is not at all attached to the Yadavas, where his own expansions and beloved sons, although he lived with them for more than 100 years, he is totally detached. So we become attached to anything we do little bit in this world. And we claim that this is what I have done. And generally, when I look at myself, whenever I address the deities, I take darshan more than one time. Come and again and see that deity. That doesn't happen when other devotees, they address it. Although the same Lord is there, he is exhibiting the same beauty, but still that minus is there, that what I have done, let me see my own, it's not a creation, but even if that is service, no, I want to see my own service. I want to, because it's so nicely done. So this is the disease of a conditioned soul, that we want to recognize what we have done. But here is Krishna, Supreme Lord, husband of a goddess of fortune. He comes to this material world and he lives here totally detached. And at the time of leaving, he is totally not at all concerned what has happened so far. And he is ready to leave at once. And who are these? They are not ordinary people. They are his own expansion and pure devotees. And his own descendant sons, headed by Pradyumna and Samba and Aniruddha and others. And he is willing to take such a bold step. So therefore we can learn from Krishna's life how to live in this world and also how to leave this world. And when Krishna leaves, before he leaves, he teaches us wonderful lessons. And that's what we see in this chapter. So here in this verse, Krishna is advising the Yadus to go to Pravasa Kshetra and take bath and do ritualistic ceremonies there. And what is the importance of that? Actually, he doesn't have to, because Krishna is the source of all holy places. And the demigods, they pray, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutastunmanti Divaistavai Vedai Sangha Padakramo Upanishadair Gayanti Yam Samaga Dhyana Vastitatad Gatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Navidu Sura Suragana Devaya Tasmai Namaha. All the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Varuna, Chandra, Agni, Vayu, they are all offering prayers at the lotus feet of the Lord, knowing Him as a source of all the holy places. And nobody can understand the beginning and end of the glories of the Lord. And that is what the demigods are saying. And such a Lord, and He is advising His own descendants, Yudhus, to go to Prabhasa Kshetra to take some bath. Is there any need to go out of Dwaraka and in the company of Krishna to go to some place to become purified? Just by hearing about the Lord, conditioned souls get purified. What to speak of the descendants of Krishna who are living with Krishna for constantly more than 100 years. And what need is there for them to go to Prabhasa Kshetra and any other place to get purified? And they also know the glories of the Lord. It's not that they are unaware of it. They know the glories of the Lord. They know His purity and power. But still they are getting convinced, because that is the power of the Lord. That here Krishna is trying to convince them, trying to trick them to go to Prabhasa Kshetra, leaving Dwaraka. And that is Krishna's expertise. He can do that. He can cover His devotees with Yoga Maya, and He can do it easily. He did it in Vrindavan. We have heard it. But how He convinced Nanda Maharaj to give up the ritualistic worship of Indra and start worshipping Govardhan. He could easily do that. And at the same time, similarly, once when Nanda Maharaj wanted to go to Prayag to take bath in holy confluence, then Krishna immediately stopped him. Why you have to go all the way to Prayag? Right here it is Vrindavan, best of the holy places, and you don't have to go to any such place. So Krishna easily convinced Nanda Maharaj to not to go to Prayag. So Krishna can do such things because He is the Supreme Lord, and He can put His devotees who know everything about Krishna, the glories, He can put them in Yoga Maya, and He can easily convince them. So therefore it is said, Avajanantim Mamoda Manushim Tanamashrutam Parambhavam Ajanantam Amabhuta Maheshwaram. That fools deride me when I descend into this material world. They don't know my own glories, transcendental nature. Because only fool will come to a conclusion that he is an ordinary person. But transcendentalists, we understand the glories of the Lord. So thus when Krishna comes into this material world, just like an ordinary human being, he is not an ordinary human being, but it appears like that. But when we see his Adbhuta Karmana, Harer Adbhuta Karmana, or Krishna Adbhuta Karmana, then when we see his wonderful pastimes, then we can immediately understand that he is not an ordinary mortal of this material world. So when Krishna comes, he performs wonderful pastimes. And in Nectar of Devotion, all 64 qualities of Krishna are mentioned, which are very nicely described over there. And 4 very important, most special qualities of the Lord. The 4 last qualities of the Lord. One is His Rupa Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, Bhakta Madhuri, and Venu Madhuri. The 4. Rupa, His beautiful form is charming. It is more charming than the Cupid. That is His Rupa Madhuri. Then His Bhakta Madhuri is surrounded by the beautiful, most loving devotees and he performs pastimes with them. Venu Madhuri, when he plays flute, that's most enchanting. That is also considered as one of the very attractive qualities of the Lord. And then the 64th is Leela Madhuri, where Krishna performs his wonderful pastimes, which are even bewildering to the great sages as well as the demigods. So here we see how Krishna has winding up his pastimes. Now we start some surveys, we start some project, and when it comes to winding it up, we need to learn from the Lord how he does it, totally in a detached way. So here he is winding up his pastimes, and there are several reasons given how and why he took such a bold decision. So it is said that of Yadus, there are few reasons why Krishna had to do all of these wonderful pastimes as far as his wiping out the Yadus are concerned. The Yadus had offended the sages headed by Narad Muni and others. So therefore, before Krishna left this material world, he wanted to make sure, he wanted to emphasize the point of respecting his devotees. That means there is this non-favoritism which we see in the character of Krishna. So conditioned souls, even sometimes devotees, they succumb to this weakness of favoritism. Whoever is near and dear to us, we forgive them. We say no problem, because after all he is my man, or I know him, like that. But here we see Krishna that he is not at all showing his favors to his own descendants, his own sons, Pradyumna and Aniruddha and Samba and others. And he could have easily manipulated this one. This curse, of course, curse is there. Gandhari gave this curse. Although her sons had committed the most atrocious activities, and she didn't see anything of that. And here she is so dare to even chastise Krishna and curse Krishna. There is a high type of stupidity and arrogance. And Krishna, who is Krishna? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is the problem for him to, you know, just by his will he could have, you know, evaded this. But he did not. He utilized this curse. Because, you know, in the meantime, Yadus, of course, we understand that how they were not in Mahamaya, but in Yoga Maya, they appear to offend these devotees of the Lord. And Krishna took that reason, and he wanted to teach us the lesson that how it is very important to respect devotees and not to offend them. And secondly, Yadus had become most powerful warriors in this world. And there were no people, no warriors around this, in this material world. So therefore Krishna, if they had to leave this world, then a kshatriya or warrior will never leave this world, you know, suffering on the bed. That is the most insulting to him. So any kshatriya, any warrior, if he has to leave from this world, it has to be in the battlefield only, isn't it? So therefore, here are the most powerful warriors, and how they will leave. They cannot be living in a palace of Dwaraka and then they will leave this world. No. Krishna gave them a perfect scene. Okay, you want to leave this world? Okay, you fight. And is there anybody who is equal to you so that you can fight with him? There is nobody. So therefore, you fight amongst yourself. That is how Krishna decided. So therefore, that is another reason why this pastime took place. And we know that how Yadus were very dear to the Lord, and Lord also was very dear to them. So Krishna knew that they cannot bear the separation from me. And if I leave and then they have to stay here, and that they will create a bigger commotion and they cannot live without me out of separation. So therefore Krishna decided, okay, let them first go back to the spiritual world and then I'll follow them. So this is how Krishna arranged this pastime. So therefore they had to leave before Krishna left this world. And it is also mentioned that how some of the Yadus had become inimical towards Krishna. And they had become very proud. So therefore also Krishna wanted to teach them a lesson. That it is not that you become proud just because you are belonging to me. So therefore Krishna also wanted to teach them a lesson. And it is also said that how Krishna left this material world. In the most interesting way he left this world. So in the purport other day we were reading that how Krishna was shot by Jara, that hunter. And actually it appeared that Krishna left this, his body there. And why it happened? So just so that those who are demonic and impersonalists and those who are non-believers, they had now sufficient proof. Okay, here is your Krishna. You call him a Supreme Lord, this and that. Just look at him. He is living. He is dying like any ordinary mortal. And his body is still lying there. So how can you call him a Supreme Lord? People give this kind of argument. So therefore, for their pleasure, Krishna has left this world in this way. Just so that they can also think that, okay, what I believe, which is atheistic philosophy, which is demonic philosophy, okay, if you want to believe in that, okay, I'll leave sufficient proof for that. So therefore, there are sufficient evidences to believe in Krishna as Supreme Lord. At the same time, there are sufficient reasons to not to believe him as a Supreme Lord and to accept him as an ordinary mortal. So therefore Krishna caters to everyone's desire. Thus he enacted this pastime. And we see that how Bhrigumuni had offended the Supreme Lord in the Vaikuntha. That was a great offense. So therefore he had to suffer for that. So therefore he came in this world as this hunter Jara, and he so-called, you know, he shot the arrow towards Lord Krishna's lotus feet. And Krishna was very much aggrieved. He was not at all happy with the Bhrigumuni's, whatever happened to him, because he was his devotee. So therefore, to send, Krishna also wanted to take care of him, and he also wanted to send him to back to Godhead. So therefore, he left this world in this particular way, just so that he can give that service to him and then he can get away with his curse and then he can go back to the spiritual world, the Bhrigumuni. So thus, Krishna, when he comes to this material world, he makes it perfect. Whether he is living or whether he is leaving. In this verse we see that how Dwaraka is considered as a Paramamangala, the most auspicious place. And there cannot be any inauspicious things happening there because it is the most auspicious place. So therefore Krishna thought, okay, this is the most auspicious place. Here they could not be doing any such a thing. And so therefore this so-called inauspicious, it's not inauspicious, but from a mundane point of view, it may appear to be, it's a most inauspicious thing happening that Yadavas and Lord Krishna himself is living. And that cannot happen in a place like Dwaraka, which is spiritual world. So therefore, Krishna made sure that let everybody go out of this Dwaraka. Let them go to Pravasa Kshetra and there they can do whatever they want to do. So therefore, they were sent out of Dwaraka to go to Prabhasa, and there whatever has happened, has happened. So thus Krishna, when he plays his master strokes, as it is said, that it is very wonderful, that generally when a person does one thing at a time, you know, many a times it so happens that when devotees ask question, they ask 2-3 questions simultaneously. Sometimes, you know, speaker, they say, no, one at a time. I said, please, tell me first, what is your question? Let me answer then, second question, third question, isn't it? But here, Krishna, with one shot, he is, you know, able to achieve so many wonderful things. That he is sending them out of Dwaraka, and he is taking all of them to back to Godhead, and he is teaching us lessons how to behave with devotees. And those who are proud and puffed up, some of the Yadavas, he wanted to teach them, listen. And Jara, the hunter, he wanted to take care of him. And those who are atheists and demoniac, he also wanted to cater to their needs. This is how Krishna is enacting his pastimes in such a beautiful way that everybody and anybody is satisfied. Okay, no problem. So therefore they are sent out of Prabhasa. I mean, Dwaraka, and they are going to Prabhas Kshetra. These devotees of the Lord, Yadavas, we understand them that they are pure devotees and they are fully surrendered. They are willing to do anything as per the whim of the Lord. So it is said that the will of the Lord, how we can see, where is the will of the Lord, where we can see it in the scriptures. Wishes. Krishna wishes that we should take to this path of devotional service and we should perfect our lives and we should go back to Godhead. And Krishna wishes it. So that is what is written in the scriptures. And scriptures are very passive. They don't come in front of us and they start speaking. Only when we open the book, we get to hear what Krishna wishes. But the Krishna's will is seen through his devotees. Because they are not passive, but they are active. Devotees are very active. If we are doing any mistake, then immediately they will point out what has been the wish of the Lord in the scriptures as written. The devotees, they will come out and they will express their, you know, will. So therefore, there is a wish of the Lord, then there is a will of the Lord which is exhibited through his devotees. Then there is a whim of the Lord. Whim is something, behavior which cannot be predicted. Here are the Yadus, they are catering to the whims of the Lord. They are acting as per the needs of the Lord, not only the whims of the Lord. So here Krishna is making such a scene that throughout the rest of the history, rest of eternity, we will see this pastime of how these Yadavas fought against themselves and they left this world. It's such a blemish in one sense, in a character. But they are not concerned. Okay, whatever Krishna wishes, whatever he says, we are willing to do that. So, whether it is Vrindavan, whether it is Dwaraka, whether it is Mathura, whether it is a spiritual world, that whim of the Lord or the desire of the Lord, that remains supreme. Because nobody can question the Lord that why, Krishna, are you doing like this? Only when we see from all different perspective, we will understand how what Krishna did is perfect thing. So therefore, when Krishna selected the Yadavas to act as per his whims, and that was like a very thankless task, isn't it? So devotees, sometimes when they are told to act like, demons, Kamsa or Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they hesitate sometimes. That's what we heard from those who direct the dramas. They want to, take the part of, the devotees of the Lord or the Lord himself. But when it comes to take the part or act like a demon, so even devotees, they hesitate. Why? I'll be seen as a villain in the drama, so that's not a very good thing. So here, Dayadavas, they are acting as per the direction of the Lord. They are willing to take up this step of, you know, going against the will of the Lord and offending the devotees of the Lord, and then in the meantime being cursed and living this material world. So that means they have to be fully surrendered, isn't it? So otherwise, why will Krishna tell them to do that? So therefore, we all want to get that mercy of the Lord and go back to the spiritual world. But at the same time, it is necessary to know that how the will or the whim of the Lord remains supreme, even in the spiritual world. We see that how in Vaikuntha once, when these four Kumaras, they go to the spiritual world to see the Lord, Vaikuntha. And there, they are cursed, they curse the Jaya and Vijaya. Jaya Vijay, they are cursed by these four Kumaras. And in the gate of Vaikuntha, in the precincts of Vaikuntha, this is happening. How is it possible? That means even at the doorstep of the Vaikuntha, so whatever happens there, it happens as per the whim of the Lord in this case, as per the wish of the Lord. So therefore, the Yadavas are considered to be very exalted devotees because they took this thankless task. Therefore, it is said that who will bell the cat? No, belling the cat is a very difficult job. And whoever tries it, any mouse who tries to bell the cat has to become a breakfast for the cat. And who will do that? So every one of them, they said, no, I cannot. So somebody has to bell the cat. Somebody has to take up that important task because that is Krishna's wish. So therefore, Yadavas, they are the selected devotees who took to this thankless task just so that we can learn our lessons nicely. So therefore, once when Radha Govinda Maharaj, he was giving his Bhagavad discourse, at that time he spoke the wonderful pastimes of the Lord, and at the end of the pastime discourse, some people came up to him and they were expressing their views. Maharaj, we are very sorry, we cannot give up these bad habits, we are addicted to smoking, drinking, eating this and that, so many bad habits. So we are not able to give up these papa karmas. Then Maharaj said, wherein Krishna says that he should give up papa karma? He said that he give up dharma. Sarva dharman parityajya. Krishna is telling you to give up dharma, not papas. So we have to give up our own preconceived ideas of what dharma and what adharma is. So here the Yadavas are such a exalted devotees that they are willing to act as per the wish of the Lord, whim of the Lord, and they are trying to offend the great sages headed by Narada Muni, and in the meantime we are able to learn our lessons. So therefore, Jiva Goswami wants in scripture that attentive dealing and attentive chanting. That is what is required for one to perfect one's life. Attentive dealing with the devotees and attentive chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And we also see that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Bhagavat, he proclaimed, he said that just do two things. One is don't, one is do. Do's and don'ts, isn't it? What is that do? Only one thing we need to do. That we need to chant Hare Krishna as attentively as possible. And secondly, he says one thing we should never do. That is criticizing devotees. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that just by doing these two simple things, we can achieve the perfection of our life. Just not to criticize devotees and just chant Hare Krishna. So therefore, Krishna also, before he leaves this world, he is giving these teachings, the most important of one, that how we need to perform our devotional service at the, in the company of devotees, and how we have to become very cautious of our behavior with other devotees. So time and again we see the same theme. Anybody, any such great soul or the Lord himself, when they leave, so they, before they leave, they give us their most important teachings. So that's also we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that how before they left this material world, they also emphasized on this point. Srila Prabhupada used to say that if you love me, then cooperate with each other. And because there is every chance, there is every opportunity for us to come up with difference of opinion and quarrel or something like that. So therefore, it is a wish of the acharyas, it is their request that we cooperate with each other and perform our devotional service. So thus, the underlining principle is very, very clear. That's that Lord wants us to come together and perform devotional service. And even if you see in this material world, any ordinary, even parents, they will never like to see their sons and daughters fighting with each other. Is it? Isn't it? So if it is possible, if it is so simple that even any normal parents, even they don't want their sons and daughters to fight. And what to speak of the Supreme Lord, who is the supreme most father of all the living entities. He certainly wants us to remain in the company of each other and perform devotional service in the loving association of devotees. So therefore, the lessons are very clear. They are very simple to understand. So now, when we understand these simple points and understand and emulate these simple things in our life, then we can achieve the perfection of our life. So I also would like to take this opportunity to beg forgiveness from devotees if I may have offended knowingly or unknowingly. So please forgive me for my offenses. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande.